You're listening to KNNA LP FM 95.7 in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, I'm old lovable Jack Kirk.
And I'm Nancy. And every Friday night on FM 95.7, Jack and I co-host a big band swing era program that we call When Music Was Music.
Every Friday evening from 7 to 9, we even play at least one real, honest-to-goodness, actual, very fragile 78 RPM record on our studio turntable.
We do?
I think we do. It's all a part of the history and the nostalgia and the fun of our program, When Music Was Music.
You're invited to tune us in Friday nights at 7, right here on the Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7. Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting. When traveling at 55 miles per hour, that's enough time to cover the length of a football field blindfolded. Put down the phone. Don't text and drive.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
Stands for in KNNA LP, low power. 95.7 FM is a low power radio station. So, if you begin to lose reception as you make your way outside of Lincoln, then just switch on your mobile device to the KNNA app or go to thecross957.org and listen on the web.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Hello, Lincoln. You're listening to a new program here on KNNA 95.7, and that's the Y-Files. Welcome again, Lincoln, and the world.
Why?
We also have the world.
Why?
That's the question, isn't it?
Why? Indeed.
Why? So, indeed. I am Captain Kirk, your host, along with David. Say hi, David.
Hello.
And
Hi.
As some of you may recognize us from Off on a Tangent, and at one point in time, We had a segment on Off on a Tangent.
Yes,
and
it was the genesis of what you're hearing now.
Yeah, we called it Ask the Pastor segment.
Indeed,
and we had Pastor Morandi on the
show. Stump the Pastor, one of the two.
It started out as Stump the Pastor, then it became Ask the Pastor.
Yeah, more polite, I guess. we remembered our manners.
Yes. Which doesn't always happen on Off on a Tangent.
Usually doesn't happen.
Especially
on
with
Off
Eric.
On a Tangent.
Anyways, so we did that, and it was such a success. We got three questions in, and it took 45 minutes.
Yep.
It was great. I absolutely loved it, and that spawned the idea of, hey, we should do this as a show.
Yeah.
We should. And so David and I have been working for quite a while now to get this show started, and what we wanted to do was take some popular, I don't know if popular is the right word, but take some.
They're very recurrent, consistently recurrent questions, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so the...
Anytime you have a discussion, they come up.
Right, right. So the Wyatt Files is a show dedicated to asking questions for pastors that congregational members or other individuals might, maybe you might be afraid for whatever reason to ask a pastor. So this, that's what we're going to do. So David and I put this together. We got some questions that might be down to earth or are down to earth, and some are out of this world.
Pretty out there, yeah.
Because I mean, I say out of this world for a reason.
People ask them all, you know?
They do. They ask a lot of questions
ask
like
all
that.
All the questions.
So this being the pilot episode, David and I agreed to ask the foundational question of this program. So with us today to help us answer that the question is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Pastor, thank you for being here and welcome.
It is a great pleasure, I think.
You think?
so far.
We'll find out. we'll find out here very quickly. No, it's a great honor to be here, and I would just encourage people that there is no such thing as a stupid question, and there are sometimes questions that need to be rephrased so that they can be asked in a way that the Holy Scriptures give a clear and definite answer to them. But the only bad question is the question you don't have enough courage to ask. Mm-hmm. So fire away, ask away. If this program's going to have any traction beyond today, then we need people to ask what's on their mind. Mm-hmm. And any pastor worth his salt is not afraid of a question. So there you have it.
Good. Mm-hmm. And along those same lines, I just lost my thought what I was going to say. I got jitters right now. This is exciting. I'm really excited about this. I can't even remember.
We've been working
what
on this for
say.
A bit.
We, yeah. we have been.
Yep.
We have
very
been.
Very superstitious, so. Writing on the wall. That's why you have jitters. You could have played like a hymn.
I could have.
Or something.
I could have. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
The energy is good, Stevie though.
Wonder. I know what I was going to say, and that's...
Stevie does wonder, and so do we.
The goal of this program isn't to just give our assumptions and our opinions, whatever we think. This is based off of Scripture alone. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
So this isn't just. I mean, we can go from there and then maybe dissect it a little bit after
that's,
that. But
that's how Lutherans do theology, and not everyone does theology that way. Mm-hmm. We do not appeal to the canons and decrees of the church as a good Roman Catholic would. Mm-hmm. We do not appeal to traditions in the church, either oral or written, as some other Christians do. Lutheran Christians are sola scriptura, scripture alone. And so that's where we appeal, and we think we have a pretty good reason for doing that. So we'll see if we can, by the grace of God, encourage others to consider that as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So with that being said, let's jump right into the question, and that is, how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God?
The inspired Word of God.
So yeah, so there are different authors to many books of the Bible. Some are letters, some are love poems. Others present to us some very violent events, and then there are other stories which seem to be otherworldly, as some might say. So, Pastor, how do we know that the Bible is the true Word of God and not man-made stories?
Well, do you want the short answer or do you want the long answer?
We have an hour program, so if you want to go long, that is perfectly fine.
Since it is my nap time on a Sunday afternoon, I could just give you the short answer, and then we could move on with life. And the way you asked the question, how do we know... No, K-N-O-W. How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? On one level, the short answer is you can't.
Interesting.
You can't. It's a matter of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of faith. And so if you are looking for the same kind of answer with regard to the composition of water being two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen that is scientifically verifiable in a test tube or class laboratory, you're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get it. Now, if you want to ask the question, why would any rational human being consider a book like the Bible to be the Word of God? The scriptures themselves give us lots and lots of answers or ammunition with regard to that particular question. So if you're looking for scientific proof, you're not going to get it. But the scriptures themselves testify that they are the Word of God. And there are really two basic approaches to the question on how can you be sure that the Bible is the very Word of God. There are some, and this is more of a Reformed way of looking at the question, and by Reformed, I mean that I'm starting to get a second wind here. So
there you go.
By Reformed, what I mean are Christians that are basically not Lutheran and not Roman Catholic. Reformed Christians fall into this general broad category, and not so much the mainline denominations of Presbyterian and Methodist and Congregationalist, but just about everyone else falls into this basic category of evangelical or Reformed Christian. And they would approach this and say, the Bible is true and the Bible is sure. And because the Bible is true and sure, then you know for absolute certain that Jesus is the Son of God, that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that your sins are forgiven by the person and work of Jesus because the Bible is true. And so many Reformed evangelical Christians spend a lot of their time in apologetics, that's Christian arguing, for lack of a better word, in apologetics and trying to convince people that the Bible is true, try to argue away seeming contradictions, historical things that don't maybe seem quite to line up with what science or history would tell us, and they spend the bulk of their time trying to prove the veracity, the truthfulness of the scriptures, because what's at stake? Christ and salvation.
Right.
Now, Lutherans sometimes will get into that kind of a that apologetics fair as well, but the classic Lutheran approach is just the opposite. Just the opposite. And that is, you know you are a sinner.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because your conscience tells you that you are a sinner. And you know that the only way that you can save yourself from sin is something outside of you must come and save you. That outside of you savior is Jesus Christ, who has taken on flesh and blood in the incarnation, who has fulfilled the law perfectly in your stead, who has gone to Calvary's cross and died once and for all the death you deserve, risen from the dead, ascended on high, really present in word and sacrament. And this Jesus, who has done all of this for you, calls himself the very Word of God. And because Jesus has done all of this for you, and because Jesus is your Savior, you want to cling to every word that comes out of his mouth. And the word that comes out of his mouth is recorded for us in 66 books called the Bible. So you know the Bible is true because Jesus suffered and died and took away your sins. That is the classic Lutheran answer for how you can be sure or know the truthfulness or the veracity of the scriptures. Now, we can unpack that more as much as you want, or you can come at me with more questions, but I think I've laid the framework for you.
That's
excellent.
That's great. You guys are listening to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. You can also listen on the web at thecross957.org or download the app, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world as long as you've got internet. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
As many of you already know,
KNNA 95.7 La Crosse operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Listen different, think different, live different. 95.7 FM, La Crosse.
Listen and learn. Tune in to Classroom 1, right here on KNNALP, FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
And we're back with the Y-Files. You guys can get a hold of us at our Facebook page. Just look up the Y-Files, and there we are. You can go to the KNNA Facebook page and find us through that, too. That's the best way to contact us right now is the Y-Files Facebook page. So go there, like the page, share the page with your friends, comment on it, get us out there. Let everybody know that we're out there on this brand new pilot episode of the Y-Files. I'm here with my host, David. I'm Captain Kirk. We're here with Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're talking about the question of how do we know the Bible is God's Word? And we had already a great discussion on that. So
I've already learned something.
What's that?
I wasn't aware that Lutheran apologetics stand in have sort of a different starting place than the rest of Reformed Christian apologetics. I haven't quite got my head around what the starting place is precisely. Is it I'm going to try to summate it, and you can tell me if it's a fair summation or not. Is it that they are saying the we know that Scripture is true because it fits perfectly with the human experience of being?
No, that would be more of an ontological or existential type of apologetics.
Okay.
Let me just ask you two Lutheran guys.
Okay.
What is the chief article of the Christian faith?
The
thing that matters most, the thing that is the heart, core, soul, and center of the Christian faith.
Salvation.
Salvation, and what J word would Lutherans generally use?
Jesus.
No.
No.
Justification.
Pardon
me. No, that's all right. I mean, Jesus is always really the answer. So, and that, you know, I tip my hand by saying the J word. But justification is the chief article of the Christian faith, that we are declared righteous on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ as revealed to us in Scripture alone. To God alone be the glory.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, the solas of the Reformation. And so the chief article of the Christian faith is justification.
Right.
So here's how you can wrap your head around what we're talking about. For Lutherans, the starting point is always justification.
I see.
Like the hub on a bicycle. I hear those cheesy public service announcements you make all the time, Jim, about...
You know you like them.
be nice to the bicyclists. They have to follow the same rules that you do. While my personal experience is telling me, I've never seen a bicyclist follow 90% of the rules I'm following. Bobbing and weaving and traffic and going across... anyway. But think of the hub on a bicycle tire. And you have that hub in the middle, and then you have all the different spokes. They still have spokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have all the different spokes that go out, and the spokes then are connected to that rim, and that's what gives you the stability.
Hmm.
The hub in Lutheran theology is justification.
I see.
It is the heart, core, center, and soul of all doctrine, all theology, all practice, and it is the heart, core, center, and soul of every individual doctrine and practice as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that Lutherans do apologetics differently,
mm-hmm.
our starting point is always Christ in the cross.
I see.
Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, that does make sense. I'm gonna approach it. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here a little bit. At least I'm going to approach it in the way making devil horns. Yes, I'm going to approach it in the manner that I've heard a lot of other people approach it, because I've had this conversation numerous times where, you know, some sort of question of ethics will come up, and like a good Lutheran, I say, well, in my system of belief, we have the Bible, and the Bible is this great book that says, you know, such and such. And they say, well, how do you know the Bible is true? You say it's inspired word of God, but it's not as if God physically did the writing. It's written by men over the course of hundreds of years, and it's been edited in different councils.
And many different translations, too.
Right, and there's been multiple translations of Scripture, and, you know, there are more translations all the time. How do you know that this is the inspired Word of God?
Are you asking how do you respond to someone who asks that question?
How do you respond? Because it's...
He's the devil's advocate, so I'm responding to the devil right now. But no, I'm
at it.
And again, as I started out the program, there's no such thing as a bad question. Mm-hmm. The only bad question is one you don't have the courage to ask. There are sometimes, if you want a clear answer from the Bible... Mm-hmm. There are some times when you have to rephrase the question and to get it into a question form that the Bible clearly answers.
I see.
So let me give you an example before I go back to your particular question there about the veracity or the truthfulness of the Bible.
Okay.
We know first Sunday in Lent, we hear the account generally from Matthew in the 1 year series. We hear the account of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus has been in the desert for 40 days fasting. He's hungry. Satan comes to him when he is his weakest, and he comes and tempts him. Mm-hmm. Some people like to ask the question, and this may be a good one for a future Y-Files. someone may ask the question, is it possible or was it possible for Jesus to sin? And there have been many trees that have died and much ink that has been spilt trying to philosophically answer that question. Now, when somebody asks me that question, I say, let me rephrase the question. Instead of, could have Jesus sinned? The question really that is answered in Scripture is, did Jesus sin?
Right.
Well, he didn't. So don't spend so much time worrying or philosophizing over what may be or what may not be, because God's word in Colossians tells us to have no part in foolish theological arguments. Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful that what we're doing is meet, right, and salutary, as we would say in Divine Service Setting 3, to overall Christianity and to the extension of Christ's kingdom.
Right.
Now, as long as the music's not playing, I'm going to keep talking.
Yep, you're good.
Okay, when you came back and you asked, well, you know, the Bible's got 66 different books, it's got a variety of genres, we got lots of different human authors, you know, how can we be sure? Well, again, if you have no faith, you are constantly going to be looking at the Scriptures, and I'm holding my hand on a Bible right now. You are going to be constantly looking at the Scriptures with skepticism, with disdain, and looking at them in a way to try to tear them down or rip them apart. So apart from faith, and this may seem shocking, apart from faith, the Scriptures remain a locked book, a closed book. Now, you hear some of these wild, fantastic stories about the man who was going to kill himself, and he goes to the motel, and he gets out the Gideon Bible, and he reads the Bible, and now he's saved. I'm still waiting to meet that person. Maybe they do exist, but that is extremely rare. Hmm. What we are talking about here is we are talking about a person with faith that God's word convinces him that the scriptures are true. Hmm. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us the specifics about the question you asked. Mm-hmm. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man.
Gotcha.
People didn't just cook this stuff up. God's word tells us. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So there is only one author of the scripture, divinely speaking, and that is God the Holy Spirit. We confess that in the Nicene Creed. Mm-hmm. God the Holy Spirit, in his infinite wisdom, used a variety of human authors and used the historical understanding, used the grammatical understanding, used these individuals, and yet because the Holy Spirit was in charge of the process, we call this inspiration. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit was in charge of the process, we can be absolutely sure that the words these men wrote are the very word of God. And as the very word of God, they are true. They are what the church term is, inerrant. Hmm. That means without error. And we go one step farther. We say that the scriptures are infallible. Mm-hmm. If I told you right now, Jim is wearing a purple hat, mm-hmm. maroon, purple, potato, patata, whatever you would say. So Jim is wearing this maroon hat. That is an inerrant statement. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yes.
There are no mistakes in it. So there are lots of things that can be inerrant. Mm-hmm. But to say that the scriptures are infallible not only says that there are no mistakes, mm-hmm. but that the scriptures are incapable of making a mistake. Hmm. And there is only one way that you can read the Holy Scriptures, the 66 books of the Bible. There is only one way that you can read the 66 books of the Bible and conclude that they are inspired, God-breathed, inerrant, without mistake, infallible, not capable of a mistake, and that is with faith in Jesus Christ, who has bled and died for a poor, miserable sinner like me. Hmm. The key to solving, unlocking certain seeming discrepancies or contradictions in the scripture, mm-hmm. is the proper distinction between law and gospel. Hmm. And with Christ at the center and the proper distinction between law and gospel, the scriptures not only are unlocked, the scriptures are life. Mm-hmm. The scriptures are that life-giving, life-changing voice of God in the Christian's life and for the extension of the church for all time. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's pretty cool as far as I'm concerned. I'm not smart enough to figure this stuff out. Mm-hmm. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit that mm-hmm. has been at work in me can I make this kind of a confession and seemingly unlock great mysteries of the Bible mm-hmm. simply by seeing, what's this have to say about Jesus? How is this understood law and gospel?
Hmm. Interesting.
I have one question, though, that we're going to have to wait till after the break to ask this question. One more question about the Bible's veracity, and then we'll go on to our next question. Stay tuned for that. So you guys are listening to the Y-Files here on 95.7 FM. Here in Lincoln, Nebraska, you can download the... I don't know why that's playing. I shouldn't be playing. You can download the... You can download the...
Talk louder.
You can download the KNNA app at the Google Play or the App Store for Apple. And you can also listen on the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org. You can also get a hold of us at our Facebook page, The Y Files. Look us up, make comments, ask questions, you name it.
Absolutely.
We'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. So, The Y Files. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any care to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
You can be a part of KNNA by subscribing. Sign up for one of our four levels of subscription at thecross957.org. Starting with the bronze level at $10 a month, to the silver level at $20 a month, the gold at $35 a month, and finally, the platinum level at $50 a month. Help keep KNNA operational and receive something in return. For more information and to donate, go to thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's...
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., right after Issues, etc.
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We are a low-power radio station, so if you are leaving Lincoln and you still want to listen to us, just go to your app on your phone or whatever mobile device that you've got.
I don't know why anyone would leave Lincoln.
I don't know. It's
such a nice place.
It's great. You know? But you can also listen at thecross957.org.
I have one word for that. Morundi.
Oh. I know.
Yeah, that's right. He is
How
leaving.
Dare the man? How right. dare he?
So we've been talking with Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We were asking him, how do we know that the Bible is the true word of God? We've had a half-hour long discussion about it already, and I think we could probably go a lot longer. But I did have one, you wanted to touch base a little bit more on what David said earlier the break.
I think something that David had asked in his 17-part multi-purpose, I couldn't even keep up with the diagram of the question that he asked me, but I'm joking, of course. There was one piece of that question that we did leave hanging, and for some, this is an extremely big stumbling point, and so I wanted to take just a minute, or as long as you want, to address it. He talked about the different versions of the Bible, or the editing process that took place over the Bible. There was, about 2 years ago, there was a series of television commercials that took place during college football bowl season, and the coach from Notre Dame, Lou Holtz, boldly said, come back to the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church wrote the Bible.
And, oh, my.
And this is very, very commonly understood Roman Catholic doctrine that what gives the Bible its veracity, what gives the Bible its authority, is that the 66 books that we would call the New Testament scriptures have been approved by the church and they are authorized by the church. And so in that respect, they have power and they have authority.
Man, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very audacious stance to take.
Of course it is. Just like there's no salvation apart from us.
Right.
That's pretty audacious, too.
Yeah.
And we would finesse that statement into a more scriptural statement and say that there is no salvation apart from Christ.
Indeed.
Going back to justification being at the center of all Lutheran apologetics. So the process that took place over hundreds or thousands of years in compiling the sacred scriptures. We have the 39 books of the Old Testament. We have 27 books of the New Testament. We have a variety of human authors. We have some books that are more anonymous. We're not 100% sure who the human author is. They have gone through scribal copyists, and they have gone through various editions. How can we be sure that what we have is or is anywhere close to the actual scriptures? Well, the original scriptures, the original writings of the scriptures, are referred to academically as the autographs. Those are the original writings of the 66 books of the scripture. The autographs do not exist.
Interesting. How so?
How so? God does what God wants to do. If we had the autographs of the scripture, guess what we would worship?
We
would worship the autographs instead of Christ.
Yep.
Why did God not preserve for us Noah's Ark? Because if we had Noah's Ark, we would worship Noah's Ark instead of Noah, or instead of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Indiana Jones Ark of the Covenant stuff.
Holy Grail.
Yes. Yeah. Why is it locked in Washington in a storehouse instead of public for... yeah, that was a joke. Thanks for laughing.
No problem.
But why did God not preserve these things for us? Because the example in Scripture in Judges of Gideon's fleece and the different arraignments of Gideon's wardrobe, we would worship the stuff instead of the thing that the stuff is supposed to point to.
So
if we truly believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is in charge of this process, the process of inspiration that we talked about in 2 Peter 1:21, that we also believe that God preserved the very words that we need, and there is an entire science, theological science, called text criticism that studies the actual manuscripts that we have, the different copies, the different variants, and puts them together so that we can be about 99.9% sure that what we have is historically accurate, and on that 0.1%, that there may be some question about the different manuscript evidence, not one of those questions has anything to do with theology or doctrine. Hmm. It could be, should it be an A or should it be a the?
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of questions. And so there's nothing that is faith-shattering in any way, shape, or form. Now, there are a variety of translations in the scripture, and you should find one that is a faithful translation. There are some folks, sadly, that have an agenda when they do a Bible translation. Mm-hmm. And in that, they play fast and loose with the Word of God to suit their own agenda.
Yep.
The most classic example of that is the Jehovah's Witness translation of the Bible called the Watchtower Edition. It is horrific, and there are many, many things that have been changed to deny the divinity of Jesus, and just outright changed. This is also why in the Lutheran Church we take great care in having our pastors go to a seminary and study Greek and Hebrew, the original languages of the scripture, mm-hmm. so that if there are some questions that come up, the pastors can roll up their sleeves, do the hard work mm-hmm. in the Greek and in the Hebrew, and come to a God-pleasing conclusion with regard to wrestling with an individual
original
text.
Translation. Yeah, okay.
So, because we're running short on time, I can't believe how fast everything is going. Right. I want to get to the next question, and this is another vital foundational question for this program, and I know Pastor Popper really wants to get to this one, because it is in relation to what we've been talking about, is how do we know Jesus existed?
How do we know Jesus existed? Well, you know, again, on two different levels. On one level, we have historical evidence that there was a guy in the early first century who was roaming around certain parts of Palestine in the Nazareth area with the name of Jesus. So we have lots of historical evidence that there was a guy named Jesus at that particular time. Probably the most noted or the most trusted historical source is the Jewish theologian Josephus. And in Josephus, we have lots of historical evidence that Jesus existed. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the question you really wanted to ask, though, because you don't want to just know that there was some guy named Jesus, right? You want to know more?
Yeah. I guess along with that question is Jesus also God?
Okay. Well, again, apart from faith, it's impossible to answer that question because this is a matter of faith. But God delivers knowledge to people in three ways. Hmm. Three ways. Okay? The first two ways are called the natural knowledge of God. The natural knowledge of God. And this is something every human, the natural knowledge of God, the natural knowledge of the universe, this is something every human being has. Every human being throughout all time, throughout the whole world, we observe things and God communicates to us first through nature.
Mm-hmm.
You open up your eyes and you see a brown tree with green leaves, you see a blue sky, you see a white and black snow goose migrating north at this time of the year, and God reveals this natural knowledge of things to you. Mm-hmm. This is God revealing it to you, and you can learn a lot simply by observing.
Mm-hmm.
Simply by observing. So the first way God communicates to us or gives knowledge to us is through nature. Mm-hmm. The second way is through reason. You have a brain. God loves it when you use your brain. And after you touch a hot stove and someone says, oh, you shouldn't touch that, that's hot, your reason registers in your brain, that was a dumb thing to do, don't do it again. And so through your natural knowledge, you have learned what hot is.
Mm-hmm.
But the third way is the key way. And the third way is the revealed knowledge of God. Like when your wife is on a play and the curtain comes open, God reveals what's behind the curtain. And he does that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Which Back is to why the Bible. We had that the other question first.
Right. You guys are listening to The Y-Files. We're with us today is our guest, Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, asking him the question of, is the Bible the Word of God and does Jesus exist? I don't know if we'll get to our third question today, but we'll find out. But we got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-3000. 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on Canon A95.7, talking with Pastor Poppy about the question, how do we know Jesus existed, or how do we know Jesus is God? And you just got done giving us 3 points, and this last one was about revealing the last one, right?
Yes.
Revealed truth.
If you look in Luther's Small Catechism in the first 12 questions, you'll see a good review of everything that I've talked about here so far with regard to the scriptures and with how God reveals knowledge to us. Certain theological books look at this. It's more of a philosophical approach to the existence of God. How do you know there is a God? How do you know that Jesus is God? And God is in the knowledge revealing business. And through natural knowledge of God, which is nature and reason, all people everywhere know that there is some kind of a higher power or some kind of a God.
Indeed.
The problem is the natural knowledge of God does not tell you the specifics about who God is and does not tell you how to get to heaven. So if all you have is the natural knowledge of God, you might come up with a God of the sun, a God of the harvest, a God of
anything.
Earthquakes.
Yeah.
And then you might use your own human experience and your reason to figure out how to communicate to God and how to get God to do what you want. And so there are certain things that stimulate the human body, Showtime late at night kind of stuff. And so you think maybe God works the same way. So if we have temple prostitutes and if we do this this kind of stuff at the Asherah pole, and if this excites me or human beings physically, maybe that'll excite God and he'll pay attention to me and he'll bless my harvest or he'll bless my hunt. And so these are the kind of things that natural knowledge of God and natural religion lend itself to.
Interesting. Okay, this is really interesting.
Okay, as opposed to everything else I've said, this is really
No, it's just, I mean, you're getting into what makes scripture a work of distinction, because it doesn't.
I mean, aside from the fact that God wrote it.
Well, right, but I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot to indicate that it isn't. Like, it isn't something that we could come up with on our own, because we have so many examples of stuff that is very clearly made up on our own.
And you see in the example, the study of history, the study of cultures, you see this playing itself over and over and over again. And what that third aspect is, you know, we confess as Lutheran Christians in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. We can't do it on ourselves. We are spiritually dead. We are spiritually blind. Mm-hmm. And so God comes to us in our spiritual death and spiritual blindness and turns the lights on. I use the example of the curtain on the stage because I think it's a beautiful example. If you go to a play and you hear the workers working behind the stage, you know something's going on back there. Mm-hmm. And you can, in your own mind, create what that set is going to look like, what the costumes are going to look like. And then when the curtain is opened or raised, it's never anything like you thought it was going to be. It's always something completely different. It's an aha event. And that is what God has done for us in revealing to us what's going on behind the screen, Wizard of Oz kind of stuff. He's revealing to us what's really going on in the Holy Scriptures. And in the Holy Scriptures, God gives us truth that is revealed to us. Now, people who do not have the Holy Scriptures, they're going to be guessing what's going on behind the stage, what's going on behind the curtain.
I.e. paganism.
Yes. And I'll even go one step farther. Christians who refuse to look to the Bible for their guidance in certain aspects of life, the curtain's only going to be partially open. And any time that you look at the Scriptures as anything less than the authoritative Word of God, you're going to be handicapping yourself and denying the revealed truth of God that He wants to give to you. And you're just kind of like maybe have one eye open. That kind of a thing.
Interesting.
So, so in that respect, your question, how do you know Jesus existed? Because God tells me. God has revealed it to me. And not that He existed as an historical person. Mm-hmm. We have secular history to tell us that. But that He existed as God in the flesh, the eternal Word, the eternal Logos, who took on flesh and blood, left His throne in heaven, fulfilled the Ten Commandments and all law for me and for all sinners, went to Calvary's cross as my substitute, offered to God the only sacrifice for sin, the blood of the God-man, Jesus Christ, and proved that all of this is true and not a lie by rising from the dead 3 days later.
Indeed.
What do you think?
Amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is encouraging to consider that the Bible is sort of unique in quality. It doesn't, you compare it to other supposed holy texts, and it doesn't have the same sort of points of structure. It doesn't operate like something that is made up, and we have many examples of things that are made up, most likely. So it's very encouraging to.
And on the outside looking in, David, when you look at the Scripture, there is no attempt to whitewash the lives of the heroes that are there.
Of course.
You know, you have Abraham and then his son Isaac, that in order to protect their own skin, they said that their wife was their sister. You have King David, one of the most amazing human beings in all of history and in the entire Scripture. And we see that he is a lying, murdering adulterer.
Indeed.
They're almost all of the other quote unquote holy books, it appears that there are conscious efforts to kind of clean up
the people in them.
The people in them. And also, when you have a lot of mythology and you have the gods coming down and intermingling with the humans, you got a lot of that same stuff going on too. And so one of the things that I think is comforting to me is that we see real life people in real life sinful situations making real life mistakes just like me.
Indeed.
And this is who God comes to. He comes to poor, miserable sinners like me, like you, and He comes not with a 10 steps for easy living, not with a way down cookbook, not with a way to retire when you're 50. I'm already too old for that. But He comes with the forgiveness of sins and salvation. What I truly, truly need. Jim, I have a question to ask you.
Yeah.
How much time do we have left in this last segment?
Oh, only like about 4 minutes.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. This flew by.
Okay. Now, but before I swallow up the last 4 minutes, let me ask, are there any other specific questions with regard to the Bible, the veracity of the Bible, the specifics of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus in the Bible that we want to talk about before I give us a teaser for the next program?
I think if I did, we'd still be here for another hour, so I'm going to wait for another episode to ask that question.
Yeah, so. I don't have anything you could you could knock out in 4 minutes.
Okay. So go ahead with what,
okay,
what you want to say.
I would, you know, in preparation for this program, I was given not one question, not two questions, not three questions. And I told these guys that I didn't want any questions. I'm better doing it cold. That's just kind of my nature, and that fires me up. But the third question is one that I want to leave with our hearers today, because it is intimately related to the first two, and there is a whole program or two or three or four worth of discussion on this matter. Now, we talked already about natural knowledge and revealed knowledge. As God has revealed knowledge to us, the revealed truth of Scripture, one of the things that he has revealed to us is his name. Mm-hmm. I am that I am. And furthermore, he has, which is Yahweh in the Hebrew, mm-hmm. but furthermore, he has revealed to us, himself to us, as one God in three persons in one God. We would call that the Holy Trinity, although the word Trinity never appears in the Bible. It's a word that we made up to teach what God's word clearly teaches. God has revealed himself to us as Father, not mother, not parent. He has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, not daughter, not child. He has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Those two mm-hmm. terms are interchangeable.
Right.
And so the question then that is before us is that kind of an anti-woman thing? Is that a sexist kind of a thing? Is this some ancient, biblical, patriarchal, I hate women, men are more important kind of a thing?
Oh,
or is man. There a reason why God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? What's going on here? And these are legitimate questions, and these are legitimate questions, especially in this era where mm-hmm. feminism seems to have such a loud voice. We have the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. People are woke all the time as to what's going on. And I would love to see a pastor, or I'll come back and address these specific issues, because God has revealed himself to us as Father, mm-hmm. Son, and Holy Spirit on purpose. It's not a mistake, and it certainly is not an anti-woman approach or an anti-woman God that we have.
Mm-hmm. Great teaser. I love Indeed. That one. I'm going to make sure that you have that question, so when you come back on, that'll be the first one that we get on to, because in emailing pastors back and forth, I even said, if we can't get to all the questions, that's perfectly fine. We'll have a to be continued with that pastor at a later episode. I don't know when that will be with everybody, because we have different pastors every week. So, thank you, Pastor Poppy. I had a great time. This has
been a
awesome.
Lot of fun. Been a yeah. lot of fun. Yeah. Don't operate heavy machinery while you're listening to this program.
That's good advice.
You. God's bless.
Thank you very much. You guys have been listening to the Y-Files with Captain Kirk and David, and of course, Pastor Poppy with us. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You can get a hold of us at our Facebook page, The Y-Files. Just look it up on Facebook. And also go to our website, thecross957.org, and check out our other programming here on KNNA 95.7 FM. See you next week, Lincoln.